Welcome to another teaching from City Life Church Wollongong. For more information about our church, log on to www.citylife.org.au.
Well, welcome to church. Fantastic to have you all here. It's great to be together, amen, in the house of God and to be here. It's exciting. Good work getting here despite it raining. I'm sure that, you know, in this day and age, that can't be that much of a deterrent. Nobody, I don't think, had to walk, so good work. It is great. I'm going to pray, and then we'll get stuck into the Word. God, thank you for your presence with us. Thank you that you're here, and God, that you're always here, that, you know, before we get here on a Sunday, before we think about church, you're already here, and you're already doing your work, and tonight, you really just want to speak to us. I pray that you'd really have help us to have open ears and open hearts to really hear what you want to say. So, God, use me for your purpose and for your glory, and just have your way tonight. Amen. So, last week, I started a message called Sharing the Mystery, and I got about halfway. So, this week, I'll finish it. Maybe. We'll see. Could be a three-part series, who knows. And so that was sharing about and talking about, you know, telling people about Jesus and sharing our faith and what that means. And we kind of talked about the word evangelism and what that meant and what that felt like when we said it. And I guess some of the worries and my own worries and issues with the word and with the connotations that it brings, and so the mind sense that it has. And so we're talking about how often as Christians and we get this us versus them mindset about telling people about God, which is like, oh, I've got to win, I've got to convince them, and it becomes very adversarial, which is really unhelpful. And really detrimental, I think, and really dangerous if that's the way we start to treat people, because then instead of, you know, talking to people because they're my friends, I almost make them my enemy as I'm trying to share with them that Jesus loves them. And that makes absolutely no sense. But it is, I think, what we do. And part of the reason that I've always, you know, struggled with that, I guess, and I think that I'm not alone in that. If I'm M, then you're all just more spiritual than me. And so we're talking really about creating that inclusive culture when we're sharing what Jesus has done for everybody. Yeah. And how really all of us are us. And all of us are them. Yeah. There is no us, there is no them. We are all them. We were all saved by the blood of Jesus. There was no person on earth that Jesus didn't die for. It's not a matter of here we are and somehow I'm better because I'm here in church warming a seat. No, I'm not. The only difference in me is Jesus in me. That is it. And the only reason that I can stand before God is because of the love and the grace of Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross, that he rose again for my sins. And that's the only difference. And so when it comes to sharing that with other people and to talking to other people about Jesus, that's all it has to be. It's that simple. And then it stops being about this us versus them thing and starts being about just sharing with lost people, because we are all lost. We are all missing. You know, someone who doesn't know God is just somebody that Jesus misses more. I hope that he's friends with me because, you know, I try. But if people don't know him, then he misses them. And so what we're doing when we're sharing our faith is giving people an opportunity to hear that Jesus misses them. Yeah. And so the question that I posited last week, that was a good word, posited, look it up, asked. I've been helping Maya with her essays, proofreading for her master's, and so my head's in thesaurus mode, where it's like, what's a more complicated way to say a regular word? Let's throw that in, because I think that's worth at least 2 marks. Not really everybody. Yeah, it's a bit of nonsense. I'm sure that the lecturers see right through it and just have to translate the essay. Anyway, it's good fun. She's doing very well. Finished an essay this afternoon, so I'm very proud of my wife. So the question, that was it. I had to remember what on earth I was talking about. Positing, not depositing, positing. Is what if evangelism stopped being about winning an argument or explaining the rules to people and started to be more about proclaiming the mystery? And this comes from Colossians 4. So if you've got your Bible, open it up. We're going to look at this passage and we're going to spend some time in it. We're going to look at it and I hope that God's going to speak to you as I felt like he spoke to me in the last weeks as I've been just reading this and thinking a lot about this and a lot about what it means to me to be an evangelist. Like I wouldn't call myself an evangelist and I certainly wouldn't. But that's what we're all called to be. We're all called to tell people about what Jesus has done for us. And so what does that mean for me? And this verse, it says, says in verse 3, it says, pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So we're talking about proclaiming the mystery. And I think I shared last week, I looked up the definition of mystery and it just said something that was difficult or impossible to explain, which is encouraging when it comes to sharing your faith. It's something that is difficult or impossible to explain to people. And so let's have fun and let's do that. But in some ways it feels like that because it's hard to explain what Jesus has done and people, you know, will either accept it or they won't. But it's a challenging thing that God became a person. He died, he lived and he died and then he rose again from the dead to take the punishment for the sins that I have committed so that I could have relationship with God instead of having punishment that I deserved. There's my nutshell. That's a crazy thought to try and explain to somebody, and that's a mystery. How you feel that, how you know that, how that is real in your life. These things seem difficult to understand and difficult to explain. But that's what the writer in Colossians is saying that I may proclaim the mystery of Christ. That I would just tell people about Jesus, you know, and what he did, and I would do it as clearly as I can, you know, that I would be wise and I would do it well. So how do we do that? I hear you ask. How do we do that? How good would preaching be if things were less rhetorical? You know, I just, you know, ask a question, everyone actually answers. Maybe it wouldn't be good. Maybe there's a reason that it's rhetorical. Just keep silent and we'll get through the service unscathed. No, you can give me some feedback, okay? It's not, you don't have to sit back and just watch. I can handle it to a degree. If you've got anything crazy that you want to say, just see us afterwards. But if it's general affirmation, like, that's great, Andrew, then you can say that out loud, just to clarify. Thanks, Mom. Amen. So, you know, encouraging things, always be building up. That's what Dad was sharing this morning, so let's do that. That was so good. This Origin series has been great. If you missed it, you should listen to it because some really good keys in there. So how can we do that? You know, last week I think we basically got to this question that was, well, what happens? And what if evangelism stops being about trying to win an argument and starts to be about proclaiming the mystery? Then what does it mean to proclaim the mystery? How do I do that? And I think the answer, we find a lot of the answer in the rest of that passage where it says, you know, be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. You know, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Wouldn't you like to know how to answer everyone? We were having this discussion in our kin, and you know, it's just like when people ask you these deep, like crazy questions about God, and you're like, well, I don't know the answer to that. But the Bible just says, you know, if you would be full of grace, then you would know how to answer everyone. And I think what it's saying, and I'll get to this a bit more, is let's take it beyond the natural question, how is it that God created the earth? Do you believe that he created it in 6 days? Like, get past that discussion to the grace discussion, which is, I don't know the answer to every single little thing. I believe in the Bible and I believe in what it says, but I know that Jesus is real. I know that he died for me, that my life is full of him. Amen. Where we make the most of every opportunity. You know, in the Amplified version, it says to buy up the opportunities. And I thought this was really interesting because sometimes, I don't know, I read that scripture and maybe you do and you're like, okay, well, that kind of takes me off the hook, lets me off the hook because maybe when a really, really good opportunity comes up, I'll make the most of it. So, you know, when I'm at work and my coworker just randomly is reading the Bible and they've never done that before, I'll really make the most of that opportunity because obviously God's doing something. And if that happens, then definitely you should make the most of that and help them to understand. But I don't know, this never happened to me. You could work in a Christian bookstore, probably wouldn't happen. I don't know. But it says to buy up the opportunities. So that means that when we're talking with people and we're sharing with people, then we need to be looking for that extra opportunity that we can buy up, you know, that we would make the most of it, that we would take those opportunities to proclaim the mystery of Christ, not to beat people over the head with your Bible and to tell them that they're doing everything wrong, because that's not a useful conversation, but to extend the conversation, to know people better, to delve a little bit deeper, to make those opportunities happen, to buy them up. You know, let's be buying opportunities with our friends. You know, where instead of just, how was your day? Great. Okay, good. See you later. We let that conversation go. You know, ask the next question. It's simple stuff, but let's like engage people and get to know people. You know, nobody's going to be a friend with Jesus if they're not a friend with you first. And a real friend. Because how can I say to somebody, you should be friends with Jesus if they're not friends with me? That's like, how am I being genuine about that? So let's be real friends. And then as we do that, then we make the most of every opportunity. We take initiative in those opportunities. Is that all right? Yep. Are you with me?
Yep.
You glad you came to church tonight?
Yep.
Despite it being wet and rainy and cold and all those things and the block being on and it's almost finished. Woo. Nobody else, just us. And we tape it, so that's fine. So let's make the most of opportunities. Let's be full of grace. You know, I was thinking about this a lot. It says, let your conversation be always full of grace. I was like, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to be full of grace? Well, grace we know is Jesus, and Jesus is grace to us, and his love for us is this undeserved and unmerited favor where we didn't deserve anything, but we were given everything. And so grace is Jesus in me. And so my conversation being full of grace means to be full of Jesus. And that doesn't mean every single, you know, answer should be Jesus. Or, you know, you should just be, but what about Jesus? Like, you know, that's going to be weird. Some people will just think you're swearing. Like, we need to be real about it. But be full of grace, you know, be full of the Spirit of God. If Jesus is living in me, then the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus gave to us when he went back to heaven and said, I'm going to send someone else, that's going to be the Holy Spirit, and that's going to fill your heart, then that's the thing that needs to be coming out. So when my conversation is full of grace, it's full of peace and joy and love and kindness and self-control and all of those things. And then, so every time I'm acting, it says, be wise in the way that you act. You know, let your conversation, so when you're talking to someone who doesn't know God, let it be full of grace. You know, when you're talking to someone who is a Christian, you could be full of grace as well. That'd be nice. We'd probably get on better. But, you know, is that what comes out of your heart? You know, is the fullness of grace and of Jesus in you the thing that is coming out? And so when they talk to you and it's about the football, they somehow sense the graciousness of God. When they talk to you and it's some situation in their family or in their life and your friend is sharing with you some hard time, is it not like, oh no, I think the Bible has every single answer and you need to listen to me right now? But it's, no, it's something of the love and the compassion and the mercy of Jesus that comes out in you every time you talk to somebody. Now, is our conversation full of it? Now, that doesn't mean it has to be always about Jesus, but coming from a fullness of him. And that's a really important distinction, that it's not, oh, I need to tell you every single thing about Jesus right now, but I need to share from what he has done in my life. All the time. So then my conversation is full of him all the time. And it's just seasoned with salt. You know, that it would bring out the flavors of God in everything that we do. I remember when I was in year 7 and a friend of mine, we were at year 7 camp. I think it was year 7. And you know how when you go on camp, they put you in like tent buddies or whatever? So you share a tent with somebody. And then those tents are assigned jobs. I don't know, that's what they did for us. And so one day we were assigned dinner. I think it was just, you know, soup in a can or something. And we had to heat it up. Pretty complicated, I know. But my friend, he liked salt. A lot. And so he seasoned the dinner with salt. I don't know how much salt he put in, but basically that's all you could taste. And it was so salty. And I don't even know if anybody ate dinner. Like basically, and he enjoyed it. He thought it was great. I think I just played along, but it was ridiculously salty, and it was just annoying. You see where I'm getting going? You know, sometimes I think we see something like this and we think about talking to people about Jesus and we think, well, I'm just going to just lay it on thick because that's the best way. You know, if I just tell my friend every single thing that I think in one conversation, then they'll definitely get saved. You know, if I just point out to them biblically what every single thing that they are doing wrong right now, they will be convicted of their sin. And they will fall to their knees and I will lead them in the sinner's prayer. No? Has that happened to anyone? Like, if this has happened to you and it's worked, then I'll take it all back happily. But I don't think that's what it's... And so then what we do is instead of being seasoned with salt, we're just like, we've unscrewed the lid on the salt shaker and just thrown it in their face. No? And I think that's why the Bible says season with salt, because it's saying, no, what you're going to do is you're going to bring out the flavors of God in the conversations that you're having. It's not like, here I'm going to just dump a whole bunch of salt on you and then you're not going to know what to do with it and it's going to make you sick and you're just going to walk away discouraged. You know, if you share everything that you believe with your friend in the first conversation, then they're going to walk away discouraged because they're going to feel like it's impossible to know God. You know, if we the first time you meet someone, you just told them everything about yourself, they would be freaked out, yeah? Because that's really too much. Too much information. It's really intimidating. It's really weird. And so why do we do the same thing with God? When we get to people and an opportunity comes up, I don't think that's what it means to make the most of every opportunity. It's not like, well, there's a bit of an opening. I might just go for the jugular. See the language there? You know, and so if it's not about us versus them and it's about me sharing and proclaiming the mystery with my friend, then, and it's about helping them to discover for themselves what Jesus has done for them, then I season things with salt. Because it makes things better. You know, you're eating something, you put a little bit of salt and it brings out the flavor. It's a really clear illustration. I love that God just likes to give us these really clear illustrations. I've been reading through like Numbers and Leviticus and all this stuff, and some of it's pretty dry. But I've really been amazed at how poetic God is. And when he speaks, it's so filled with imagery and pictures, and he's just trying so hard for us to understand, I think. And so it's no accident that this says, you know, be seasoned with salt. He says, let it be full of grace. And he says, but in case that's too difficult for you to understand, I'm going to add in this seasoned with salt bit so that you know what I'm talking about. That there would be a little bit of saltiness in what you say that would bring out the God flavors in the things that you're talking about. And so then when something good happens, you would bring out the God flavor in it. You know, where it's just, all right, let's point the glory to God, not how awesome am I or how cool is that, but how cool is that? Thank you, God. Like, just bringing out the flavor of God in the things that we do, amen? That it's not just dumping the salt, but it's being seasoned with salt. You know, it says the same thing in Matthew, and Jesus says the same thing in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 13. He says, you're the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. It says, we are the salt of the earth. We are designed to bring out the flavors of God in the things that are happening around us. And so that when people see things happen, we can point them towards God. We can bring him out. You know, it goes on and says, you're the light of the world. You know, people don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl. They put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The people would see the things that we do and the things that we say, and it would point them towards God. Not make them feel condemned and make them feel like they can't do anything to get close to God, but point them towards the grace of Jesus for their life that is just as real for every person in the world as it is for you and for me. That nobody needs to be left out. And I think we need to get past this idea of well, I've got to convince people, I've got to sell them. Like, that's just really bad. And get to this point where my conversation is just full of grace and it's seasoned with salt, that it just brings out God. That after people have spent some time with me, I hope that when my friends spend time with me, they feel something different. They feel themselves drawn to something different, that in every part of my conversation was just full of Jesus. And maybe I didn't talk to them explicitly about God or the Bible or church or anything like that, but maybe there was just a sense in the things that I said or the way that I conducted myself that seemed different, that seemed gracious, that seemed full of Jesus. And then I hope that I would then make the most of the opportunities to take that further and to not just, you know, be there and be a Christian and leave it at that, but to take the initiative to share with people and to let them in. And as they start to see the fullness of Jesus in me, which I hope they do because I hope it's in me, you know, that they would start to open their heart for me to share with them about who he is and what he did for them, yeah? So how do we do that? It's a good question. I had a few thoughts, and so I hope this makes sense. I'm just going to kind of share some things that I've been feeling like are ways that we can approach this, and maybe they're really relevant to you. Maybe they're half relevant to you. I don't know, but grab these and come up with your own, whatever. If you come up with extras, then let me know. Because let's help each other, yeah? Because we have a whole city that doesn't know Jesus, doesn't know that Jesus died for them. You know, I have friends that don't know that Jesus died for them. You know, I want to care enough about my friends that I'll share Jesus with them, that I'll proclaim the mystery because I love them. Not because, you know, I want to win something. It's not about that. Maybe remember, it's not about winning an argument. It's not about explaining the rules. It's about proclaiming the mystery. And if I care about my friends, then I care about them. And if I believe what I say I believe, and this is the crux of it, if I believe that Jesus is who he said he is, and I believe that without him I'm eternally separated from God and everybody on earth is, if I believe that, if that's real in my life, and if I love my friends, then don't I have to tell them? Don't I have to do something about that? Am I just going to sit back and watch them? And we get scared and we get nervous, and fair enough, and we get worried about what people will think. But, you know, we got to give it a go. You got to have a swing. You might not hit a six every time, It doesn't matter. But I need to give it a go because I care about my friends. Honestly, I think that we should be able to be comfortable to have the God conversation with our friends because we care about them. And if it's going to be argumentative or it's going to be difficult, then start to share that with them. Be transparent with people. You know, I think basically in this day and age, people expect the sales pitch from a Christian. You know, we live in a world where, you know, evangelists are on TV, where people are knocking on your door and they're giving you the sales pitch, yeah? And so your friends are not, like, Christians are not the only people that get door knocked. Like, everybody does. It happens a lot, you know, and so people are aware of that. And so then the face of Christianity becomes a salesman. And that's a scary thought, I think. Because shouldn't the face of Christianity be Jesus? And so we need to be transparent about that. You know, share with each other, share with your friends your struggles about it. You know, why not tell your friend, this is really what I believe and I really care about you. That's a really different conversation, isn't it? To, oh, let's have an argument about some theological history. That's great. Have fun. Do that. I've done it all. I've never seen one person get saved because I won an argument with them. And I won some arguments. It's not about that. You know, but if I'm honest and if I'm transparent and I'm just like, well, yeah, I don't have all these answers. You know, sometimes being a Christian feels like a bit of a mystery to me too. But I know Jesus. And I know what he's done for me. And I believe that you need him. And let's just be real with that. You know, maybe your friends aren't going to believe you, but at least you're real about it. You know, Josh is up here with his Rabbitohs jersey, telling everybody who he supports, and there's only just a little bit of judgment from people. But, like, whether people judge or not, like, let's just be real with who we are, yeah? Let's care enough to share that. Let's start to be a bit bold about it. And not in a prideful way, and you got to be careful that it doesn't become I'm right and you're wrong, so there. Because then we get this Christian superiority complex, which is somehow I'm better. You're not better. You're saved by grace. Yeah. Do we know that? Yeah. You're not better than anybody. We're possibly worse because we know that we're saved and we still do the wrong thing. I don't know. But, you know, let's get to that point where we can be, you know, not ashamed of that. I know it's for me and maybe for you. You know what people think. You know the issues that people are facing. You know the debates that are going on. You know, maybe you're at uni or at work and you know what people talk about. And you know that the things that people think about when they think about the church is stuff like abortion and gay marriage. And so it's hard to answer those questions and not sound stupid or bigoted. And so we shrink back from sharing our faith. But you don't have to know every answer to every question. Just know what Jesus has done for you and don't be ashamed of that. You know, let's start treating people as people, not as targets. You know, it's a horrible way to treat someone. If you're treated like that, you feel awful, don't you? At work, like I work in a design studio when I don't work here. And because of that, our number is, you know, listed publicly, obviously. It's a business. I reckon 80% of the calls that come to our office are people calling for sales stuff. And they're getting really sneaky. It's like, did you know that you could save over like $400 on your electricity bill, and you, after a minute of conversation, you realize they don't actually provide you with electricity. Like at the start, you thought this was our power people calling us to say that something was wrong with our power. And then after a while, like, wait a minute, do you currently supply us with power? No. Okay, see you later. You know, we hate the sales pitch, yeah? You hate being feeling like you're a target. And someone who doesn't know Jesus, it's not different. We are all like that. And your friends can tell straight away. You know, if you're pitching them, they know that you're pitching them. So let's stop. And let's be friends with people. You know, if they're your friends, they're your friends. That's great. And whether they know Jesus or not, they're still your friends. So let's show love and care and be real, you know, be real with people. You know, I've even been coming to the point, and ironically, there are cards on your seat to invite people to Easter. That's great. But what if we stopped inviting people to church? Oh, bear with me for a minute. I'm not saying you shouldn't invite someone to church. But what if that stopped being your goal? You know, because that's so often my goal. It's like, oh, I'm going to work up the courage to invite someone to church. But what if I just shared my faith and my life with them? And then church is inevitable. That's an inevitable part of the conversation. Church is just it's an integral part of being a Christian. And it's what we do, and we do it because, like, that's what Jesus built, and that's what he said to do, and it's just part of who we are. And so the church thing will come up. But what if it didn't have to be the thing every time I talk with somebody? What if it wasn't my goal to get my friend to church, but my goal is I'm going to share what Jesus did for me. They can accept that, they can reject it, but at least I had a swing. At least I told them what I believe. At least I cared enough to share with them. You know, let's do that. And so maybe that means for a while you have to deliberately not invite someone to church. Now, this is what I said last week. You know, as a pastor and a professional Christian, that seems to be going against what I should be saying. Because, you know, we would love to have more people come to church. That would be great. But I don't want people to come because they were cajoled into coming to a church service, because it's the first and last service they'll ever walk into. I'm not interested in filling some seats for a week. You know, I want to see people just meet Jesus. I get back with him. And Jesus misses them, and I want him to meet his friends again. You know, that's what it's about. Let's be willing to share our spirituality. You know, we have a world that is looking for spiritual things all the time, and for some reason as Christians we feel like we can't have a role in that. You know, people are happy to think about Buddhism or other things or do yoga or I don't know, whatever. Like, people are interested in spiritual things. And people go to concerts and it's a spiritual experience. Like, we're looking for those things all the time, and somehow, like, I count myself out of the conversation. But really, if anybody's going to know about spiritual things, it should be me. Because I know that the Spirit of Christ is in me. I have the Holy Spirit inside my life. I know that there is more to this world than what we see. But there is an eternity, and there are spiritual forces, and all of that is real. And I know all of this, and I know the hope that comes with that. And so why not be like the spiritual consultant for your friends? No, we count ourselves out, but you know things about the spiritual life, and you are more connected to your spirit and to the Spirit of God than anybody that you know. So why not share that? You know, I would love to just be like the go-to spiritual person for my friends. That maybe they're not going to walk into church next week, but they're going to ask me questions about God and about spiritual things because they know that I'm a spiritual person. And I would love it if we could change this idea of Christians being religious people to Christians being spiritual people. And people talk about Buddhists and they say they're spiritual people. Let's claim it back, hey? Like, why can't I be a spiritual person? I am a spiritual person. We are all spirit, you know? And this body is just a container for our spirit, for our soul, that is meant to spend eternity with God. We were built for something more than this. And we know that, and that's real in our hearts. So let's share that with our friends. Yeah. You know, let's stop trying to win the argument. Stop trying to explain the rules, because that's never a useful conversation. But let's just be real with who we are. You know, for me, I'm an ordinary person. I am us, I am them, but I'm saved by Jesus. I'm filled with his spirit. I'm empowered for a purpose. You know, all of these things are amazing, and all of these things are what everybody is searching for. And if I care about my friends, then I'll share that with them. Not in a argumentative way, just in a loving, transparent, vulnerable way. And let's be real. Let's be willing to open our hearts to our friends. I don't know, and I can't guarantee you won't have an argument with somebody. But I think that as we share our heart a lot more than we share what's in our head, that people stop having arguments and they start listening. Yeah, yeah. And maybe they won't agree with you. You know, I went through school and was very public about my faith, and not everybody that knew I was a Christian became a Christian. But I got to the end of high school and basically everybody told me, and several people told me, that they respected that I stood for my faith. So let's not be worried when you're feeling criticized, because that's when you start to show the fullness of grace that's inside you. Yeah? That's when people start to see a bit of Jesus in you, when you are persecuted, when you are criticized, when people try to argue, when they try to start a fight. And people will respect you when you stand for what you believe and when you're genuine and you're honest about it. Yeah? So let's stop trying to win. Let's be full of grace, seasoned with salt. Let's proclaim the mystery with the authority of Jesus. I really want to finish with this. And I'm out of time, but I want to finish because I want to get this thought out, because this is Maya's thought and she's really, was really good. It's a really good thought, so I think you should share it. You know, when Jesus went to heaven, he said to his disciples, he said, "Go and make disciples of all the nations." We know this scripture, it's Matthew 28. But before that, he says, "I have all the authority and I'm giving it to you." Every authority. He says, "All the authority in heaven and earth, I give it to you. Now go and make disciples." We know this in our heads, but we don't act like it. So often I act like I don't have any authority, but we have the authority of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in us and on us. Therefore go make disciples. So let's take that as an encouragement. I hope you take that and just maybe think on that. I'm out of time, but let's think about that this week and go and walk into your workplace, into university, wherever you're going this week, with the authority of Jesus on you, knowing that God has given you all authority, knowing that we have a Savior and that He loves us and He loves every person. Know that God is at work. It's not just us, but He is working. So let's stop trying to win the argument and let's proclaim the mystery. Amen. I'm going to pray. God, thank you so much for your presence with us. Thank you that you love us, that you gave your Son for us. Thank you that Jesus died for us on the cross, that He rose again and He beat death so that we could have a relationship with you. So that we could walk with you day to day, that we could have your Spirit in us, so we could have eternity in heaven. God, I pray that you would just reveal that to us more and more, so that we would know the need to share it with our friends. God, help us to have a heart for the people of our city, the people that we see every day, the people that we talk to. And God, that it would not be about getting them to church or winning an argument or telling them they're doing the wrong thing, but it would be proclaiming the mystery of Christ to our world, sharing what you have done in us, how you have changed our lives, and that we genuinely believe that you can change their life. So God, I pray this week we would go with a fresh boldness, a fresh confidence, a fresh authority. God, we want to claim your authority on our lives, and I just pray it over every person that's here right now. God, a new sense of authority as we walk into the places we go. God, not authority to trample other people down, but authority to go and make disciples, to share, to love, to live with people, and to show them the fullness of the grace that is inside of us. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And maybe you're there and I don't know where everybody is at with God, and you know, we're sharing about, you know, sharing your faith, and you're thinking, well, I don't really feel like I have a faith to share right now. But I feel like the message has been clear, and it's the same for me and for you and for everybody in this world. Jesus loves us. He died for us. He took the weight and the punishment of our sin. And all we need to do is accept that, to ask God for forgiveness, to let Him into our life, to let Him rule in our life. That's what it means to be a Christian. And so we're going to pray a prayer together. It's going to be on the screen like it is every week. And we're all going to pray it together like we do every week because we're a family and so we do things together. But if you want to pray this for the first time or you want to pray it again in a fresh way, then I encourage you to just pray it with an open heart as you ask God to come into your life. So let's pray this prayer together. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I'll follow you. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this teaching from City Life Church. Why not join us on a Sunday? We hold multiple services around the Illawarra. For more information, go to www.citylife.org.au.